Chapter 13. Defending in your mind the poor women from attacks which cannot possibly touch them. I wonder what can touch them? But to soothe your uneasiness I will point out again that an irrelevant world would be very amusing if the women take care to make it as charming as they alone can by preserving for a certain well-known, well-established, I'll almost say hackneyed, illusions without which the average male creature cannot get on. And that condition is very important. For there is nothing more provoking than the irrelevant when it has ceased to amuse and charm. And then the danger would be of the subjugated masculinity in its exasperation, making some brusque, unguarded movement and accidentally putting its elbow through the fine tissue of the world of which I speak. And that would be fatal to it. For nothing looks more irretrievably deplorable than fine tissue which has been damaged. The women themselves would be the first to become disgusted with their own creation. There was something of women's highly practical sanity, and also of their irrelevancy in the conduct of Mr. Barrel's amazing governess. It appeared from Fine's narrative that the day before the first rumble of the cataclysm the questionable young man arrived unexpectedly in Brighton to stay with his aunt. To all outward appearance everything was going on normally. The fellow went out riding with the girl in the afternoon as he often used to do, a sight which never failed to fill Mrs. Fine with indignation. Fine himself was down there with his family for a whole week, and was called to the window to behold the iniquity in its progress, and to share in his wife's feelings. There was not even a groom with them. And Mrs. Fine's distress was so strong at this glimpse of the unlucky girl all unconscious of her danger riding smilingly by, that Fine began to consider seriously whether it wasn't their plain duty to interfere at all risks simply by writing a letter to the Barrel. He said to his wife with a solemnity I can easily imagine who ought to undertake that task, my dear. You have known his wife after all. That's something at any rate. On the other hand, the fear of exposing Mrs. Fine to some nasty rebuff worried him exceedingly. Mrs. Fine on her side gave way to despondency. Success seemed impossible. Here was a woman for more than 5 years in charge of the girl, and apparently enjoying the complete confidence of the father. What, that would be effective, could one say, without proofs, without... This Mr. De Barrel must be, Mrs. Fine pronounced, either a very stupid, or a downright bad man, to neglect his child so. You will notice that perhaps, because of Fine's solemn view of our transient life, and Mrs. Fine's natural capacity for responsibility, it had never occurred to them that the simplest way out of the difficulty was to do nothing and dismiss the matter as no concern of theirs. Which in a strict worldly sense it certainly was not. But they spent, Fine told me, a most disturbed afternoon, considering the ways and means of dealing with the danger hanging over the head of the girl out for a ride, and no doubt enjoying herself with an abominable scamp. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.